In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a single lesson in the Transfiguration, and that is that our Lord Jesus Christ is God. St. Thomas says that the transfigured body of Christ is his natural state, and that the humble state that Christ had as he walked the earth was effected by a miracle, because the natural effect of his divinity upon his human body would be the state of the Transfiguration. And because our Lord Jesus Christ is true God, there is another single conclusion that is drawn from that, and that is, there is no God but Christ. No other true God except Christ. And there is no other church other than the one he founded. There cannot be two gods. And the reason is that God, being the absolutely perfect being, cannot have a consort in perfect being, because the other perfect being would not be in any way distinguished from the first one. They would be the same thing. There could be no characteristic, no perfection that the first one has that the second one would not also have. And so it is absolutely impossible that there be two all-perfect beings. There cannot be two gods. For the same reason, there cannot be two or more divine churches. You cannot have many churches that contradict one another, claiming to be the Church of God. The word church in Latin is ecclesia. And this word ecclesia comes from the Greek word to call. But who is it that calls? It is God that calls. Hence, those churches founded by anyone but Christ do not call in the name of God. And indeed, they are not even churches. They have no legal basis to exist. For example, if you want to found a business, you must go to the state and found a corporation or a partnership. If you do not go to the state and receive a legal basis from the state for this business, and you open up a business and claim to be a corporation or a partnership, and you are discovered, you are considered a fraud. You might even see time in jail for such a thing. Because you have no legal status, you have no existence from the state. The same is true of churches, so-called, who present themselves as churches, as religions, as if they have some license or charter from God. They have no such charter or license. They have not been established by God. They have been established by human beings. And in each of those cases, if you look at their history, you can trace right back to the point where some human being invented them. And so they should be called collections of heretics, or bands of heretics, or schismatics. But not churches. The modern heresy is that we all worship the same God. How many times have you heard that said? That despite all of the differences that people may have about dogma, and religion that we all worship the same God. It really doesn't matter fundamentally what religion we belong to. And this is supremely false and is a blasphemy. It is based on a subtle fallacy, a subtle fault of reasoning. Because it is true that anyone who has a religion worships a supreme being. There were people in the Old Testament who worshipped flies. They worshipped something that they considered to be a supreme being. But supreme being is merely a descriptive term for God. It does not identify the true God. No one in his right mind would say that the worship of a fly is the same thing as the worship of the Trinity. That is the same God. You would have to be crazy to say such a thing. Yet, in both cases, they are supreme beings in the minds of those who worship. And so because supreme being applies to both, then conclusion, well, we all worship the same God. And that's nonsense. This heresy that we all worship the same God is based as well on another fallacious reasoning process. It is true that someone may, through invincible ignorance, that is, ignorance that they cannot overcome, want to worship the same God when they are worshiping a false God. They may think, through no fault of their own, that their false God or false Christ is true. Just as you may think when you're going down the wrong way on the freeway that in fact you're going the right way on the freeway. It's possible. If they do labor under this invincible ignorance, God will not hold against them the false worship. He will not count that as a sin. But it still remains that they are worshiping a false God. Just as if through invincible ignorance you get on the freeway on the wrong side and go down the wrong way, you might be perfectly innocent because you made some mistake that you did not realize. You might be perfectly innocent for doing such a thing, but it does not change the fact that you're going down the wrong way on the freeway and that you are going to probably have a terrible accident. And so because people might be guiltless because of their innocence, their ignorance in worshiping a false God, it does not in any way canonize or justify the false worship or the false God. But because subjectivism is the philosophy of the day, what you think in your head becomes reality. That is the disease, the mental disease that practically the whole world has today. That if I think it, well then that's reality. So if I am sincere in my false religion, well then that religion becomes true and good and legitimate. And that's false. Because the mind must conform itself to reality. It is not the author and creator of reality. Just as the camera is made to take pictures, it is the reality that imposes itself on the camera and not the camera that imposes itself on reality. our perception of God is very important because it is the truth and it is the most important truth. It is more important than all of the truths of biological science or medical art or of mathematics or civil engineering. Much more important that we know the truth about God than that we know the truth of any of those things. Much more important that we know the truth about God than that we have wheels to roll on. And if man had never invented the wheel, but had known the true God, he would be in much better condition than he is today. To say we all believe in the same God, but we merely perceive him differently, is to abandon the very idea of truth about God. Imagine students saying we all know the same mathematics, but we just perceive it differently. Or doctors in medical school saying, well, we all know the same human body, but we just perceive it differently. And where one might prescribe a medicine, the other one might prescribe a poison. That's absurd. If you perceive something differently, then someone is wrong. Perhaps you're both wrong, but you can't both be right if you perceive it differently. And so this idea that we merely perceive God differently abandons the very notion of truth about God, which is the most important truth that we have. This idea ruins the very motive of the incarnation and the establishment of the Catholic Church. If it is not necessary to know truth about God, then why did God come down upon the earth and assume human flesh? If it is not important that we know the truth about God, why did Christ establish the Catholic Church to be a constant beacon of truth throughout all the ages? Why did the martyrs go to their tortured deaths in the early ages and throughout the history of the church, if it is not important what God we know or what the nature of that God is? It is the most important thing, and it is more important than our own lives, because we must give up our lives for the truth of the faith, for the true God, the true church, the true religion, as many of our ancestors have. And if there is no such thing as a strange God, then what is the purpose of the first commandment of God? I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. That becomes a meaningless commandment in the face of, we all believe in the same God, we merely perceive him differently. And when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and found the Jews in front of their golden calf, dancing and fornicating like idolaters, did he say, well, we all believe in the same God, but we merely perceive him differently? Is that what Moses said? No, he took the tablets of the Ten Commandments and destroyed the golden calf with it, and then put to death 23,000 people at the command of God because they worshiped the wrong God. At the command of God, those people were put to death by the sword because they worshiped a false God. Where is ecumenism there? Where is we all worship the same God there? Rather, do we not hear loud and clear that the most important truth of our lives is the true God, the true faith, the true church? Yet the modern heresy is the basis of uniting the human race today. John Paul II has been considered a saint. When he died, the people were clamoring in St. Peter's Square, Santo Subito, which means make him a saint right away. There was a frenzy about him, precisely because he abandoned the insistence on Catholic dogma, and he tried to unite the world according to the principles of this modern heresy which I have just described. He kissed the Quran. He praised the voodoo religion. He participated in just about every false rite, false religion on the face of the earth, with the message that these religions, although they may have certain falsehoods in them, they admit, have supernatural truth and value because they are man's sincere movement toward God. They are not man's movement toward God any more than your going down the freeway the wrong way is a correct movement toward your goal. In fact, you're moving away from your goal. And you are in grave danger of dying when you go down the wrong way. But he praises these false religions, as Ratzinger does. He praises them as if they have a certain value, a certain license from God to exist. And he praises them as means of salvation, tools that God uses for the sanctification of souls, voodoo. And so this heresy that rots out the very basis of Catholicism has become now the great truth of mankind. So let us not be sucked in by the attitude that all we need is the traditional Mass. Recently, as you know, in July, the traditional Mass, the one that, well, substantially the one that you see here, was given permission to be said all over the world in parish churches. And many people who have reacted to Vatican II and who understand the problem in the church are tempted to say, well, this is the end of our problem. Our difficulties are over. And now tradition is returning to the church. Peace at last. The war is done. And it is not true, because they have not taken, those modernists, have not taken a single step backward from this religion-rotting heresy that we all worship the same God, and that religion doesn't matter, the true religion doesn't matter, and that all religions have a certain value in the eyes of God. False religions are an abomination in the sight of God. And if someone is saved who is in those false religions, it has nothing to do with that false religion. It has to do with the grace of God and their ignorance. And as a matter of fact, their false religion is actually something which works against their salvation and is in no way a tool of God. The principal problem of Vatican II and the principal problem that needs to be solved is a dogmatic one. It is not a liturgical one. The liturgical problem stems from the dogmatic problem. And we recently saw Ratzinger change the prayer on Good Friday for the conversion of the Jews to something that was ecumenically acceptable. Why? Because ecumenism is their dogma. And whatever there is in the traditional missal that offends ecumenism must go. And it is a sign that they cannot live with the traditional worship of the Catholic Church. Vatican II and all of its effects is a question of faith primarily and not merely of liturgy. And so on this day of the transfiguration of Christ, renew your faith in the divinity of our blessed Lord, your faith in the one true God, and your hope in his assistance to his church in perpetuity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.